It's time to join the American Family Robinson again and route from the top of Mount Killington to the Baron's camping shack at the base of the mountain. A few days ago, Luke had a quick radio success when he appeared as guest on Myra's program, and he pulled so many letters from husbands in the audience that he has now decided that he has a mission to perform as an ideal husband who should set a good example to married men generally. Believing that high ideals should start at home, Luke has been waiting on Myra hand and foot. But instead of being pleased, she yearns for Luke to return to his old natural ways. When things reached the point where Luke became more interested in his career as the perfect husband than in fishing, Myra and the Baron both decided it was high time they all went back to Birch Falls so Luke could devote his attention to the department store business again. So we now find Luke, Myra, Aunt Agatha, and the Baron trudging along the old logging road down the side of Mount Killington. Let's listen.
Now do step along, Luke, and stop lagging behind so much. Why, even Aunt Agatha's walking faster than you are.
Oh, I'm what you call a downhill walker.
All right, I'm coming. I still don't see what all the rush is about.
You know perfectly well we want to get back to the Baron's shack, pack the rest of our things, and start off for Birch Falls tonight.
Oh, you do. I don't.
Why, all of us do, don't we, Baron?
Well, maybe if we started for Birch Falls in the morning after a night's sleep at the shack...
Nonsense. I want to reach Birch Falls tonight. The quicker Luke gets back managing the Emporium, the less time he'll have to think about being a radio star.
I presume you'd be happy if I dropped my radio activities altogether, Myra.
Strikes me as an excellent idea.
Well... I just don't see how I can let my audience down like that.
Oh, now don't tell me all about your audience again. Oh, isn't this a beautiful part of the trail, Baron? The way those branches overhang?
Uh-huh.
Be prettier if we weren't in such a sweat.
I know what's in the back of your mind, Myra. You want to get me off your program. Same way you eased Twink Pennebaker off when she got too popular for your comfort.
Fiddlesticks, you're talking through your hat.
Yeah, well, maybe I am, but... Well, what do you think about it, Aunt Agatha?
Well, don't know as it'd do any harm if you let him appear with you on the radio once more, Myra.
Oh, I might do that. But then he'll have to give up his idea of being a radio star and try to be a star performer at the Emporium.
Well, we'll see, we'll see. I'm not committing myself to anything. But I'll tell you this much, Myra.
What's that?
If I hadn't already sworn a resolve to be an ideal husband...
A sort of Mr. America?
Well, now, say, that's not a bad way to put it, Baron. Well, if I hadn't decided to be a help instead of a hindrance, I wouldn't even think of letting you break up this camping trip.
What would you do?
Well, I'd flatly refuse. I'd just get tough about it. Now, don't worry, dear. I won't cause any trouble. I'm going to be the heart and soul of cooperation.
Mighty nice of you, I must say.
But just the same, I wish you'd wait until tomorrow before we leave the shack and head for Birch Falls.
I think Luke's right about that, Myra.
And so do I. When we get back to the shack, we will be much too tired to start out again.
Very well, if that's the way you all feel. We'll stay at the shack tonight. But mind you, we've all got to start out bright and early in the morning and go home.
Well, that's plenty time enough. What I want to do when I get back to the shack is to go to bed.
Me too, Aunt Agatha. Darned if I don't think we took the long way down the mountain. Seems like we should have been at the shack long ago.
I've been thinking the same thing. Now, if you'd only taken the road to Tannersville, it would have been much shorter.
Nonsense. I'm sure this is the shortest way.
Maybe so, but my feet tell me otherwise. Say, how did that Tannersville get its name? I used to know a man named Tanner when I first came to this country and worked in St. Louis.
Oh, it wasn't named after a man. It was named after an industry.
Yep. They got three big tanneries down there. They've been there for nearly 100 years.
Of course, I might have known. Tannersville, the tanning industry. Is that a frequent custom in this country?
Oh, yes, Baron. There are hundreds of towns named after industries. Oh, I know what let's do. Let's play a game where everybody tries to think of an American town that's been named after an industry.
That's a good idea, Myra. Might make the hike seem shorter. You start first, Myra. You thought up the game.
Why, let's see. Oh, yes. The town of Steelton. You're next, Baron.
That ain't fair. The Baron ain't been in the country long enough to know any names.
Oh, that is all right. I will try to play the game. Now, let me see. How about Valley Forge?
Oh, right. That's very good.
Well.
Go ahead, Luke. You're next.
I don't suppose you'd allow Tannersville, huh?
Oh, of course not. That one's already been mentioned. Think up a new one if you can.
Why, certainly I can. There's Millville in Westchester County, New York State, where there's a big sawmill.
That's right, and just a few miles away from it, there's a miller town named after a flour mill.
Of course, there must be hundreds of Millvilles and mill towns in the United States. Now, let me see. It's my turn again, isn't it? Well, how about Factoryville or Pottstown or... Oh, dear, this isn't much fun. It isn't such a good game. It's too easy.
Well, anyway, we can't get away from the fact that all these names offer convincing proof of the importance of industry to the general scheme of things in this country.
It is certainly outstanding evidence that industry has had a lot to do with the building up of the community life of the country, and through the community life, the national life. Now, that's a very good thought. I think I should put it in my book. If we ever get back to the shack and I can sit down again.
Luke, you got any idea how much further it is?
Oh, can't be more than a few miles.
Oh, too bad there ain't any cars coming this way. We could hitchhike.
Yeah, but that'd be cheating. We started out on Shank's mare and we ought to end up that way. Come on, folks, don't lag. The last few miles are always the hardest.
So, about an hour later, we find the weary hiking party finally approaching the Baron Shack.
Is it that through the trees there, Baron? Tell me, it must be.
Yes, that is the shack. Back at last.
Oh, glory be. I never did think I'd get here standing up.
Hey, looks like somebody left a light burning.
Well, you were the last one to leave after we'd already started out.
Well, there weren't any lights burning when I left the place. It was broad daylight.
Well, maybe there's somebody in there.
Well, we'll soon find out. But how they got in if the door was locked is more than I could... Let me have the key, Luke, please.
Yeah. Oh, well, now say, to tell the truth, I think I forgot to lock the door. Yes, I must have left the key inside.
Fine way to leave the shack.
It's a mercy if tramps ain't been here and cleaned the whole place out.
Oh, there aren't any tramps up in this neck of the woods. Do you wish to go in first, Luke?
No, after you, Baron. It's your shack. You just step up there and open the door and take a quick look.
You take it with me.
Well, wait a minute. Baron, maybe we better...
Oh, it sure is comforting having two such brave men with us.
Yes, isn't it? Oh, go ahead, Luke. Walk in there with the Baron. We'll wait out on the porch.
Oh, all right. Come on, Baron. Open the door. No sense in fooling around.
Right. Doesn't seem to be anything wrong. Luke. Well, look who is here.
Well, why, if it isn't Twink Pennybacker. Come on, Agatha, Meyer, come on in. See who's here.
Now, who is it?
Oh, hello, Baron. Hello, Mr. Robinson.
Hello there, Twink.
I was wondering when you'd be back.
Come on, Meyer, come on in. See who's here.
Oh, well, I'll see who it is, all right. Huh. Well, Miss Pennybacker, I must say,
good
this
evening,
is
Mrs.
a...
Mrs. Robinson.
What's the matter? Are you taking a vacation from the Emporium?
Oh, no, Aunt Agatha. I just brought some invoices for Mr. Robinson to look at. And...
A likely story. And if you don't want to know what I think,
you just wait a minute, Myra.
Well, that's right, Mrs. Robinson. That's the only reason I came, just to show Mr. Robinson these papers. And then there was something else I wanted to tell him about. Well, sort of a change in the store recently.
A change in the store?
Yes, I thought it was something that Mr. Robinson would want to know about. You see, what happened was that...
Nonsense, Aunt Agatha. This girl simply came up here because you were here, and she knew it would annoy me to have her here.
Oh, that isn't so, Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, it is so.
Now, that's all very flattering, Myra, but I think this time you're off on the wrong foot.
And speaking of feet, I'm going to put mine in bed where they belong. You people can argue this out for yourselves if you want to. But me, I'm going to get some sleep.
Good night, Aunt Agatha.
See you in the morning, Aunt Agatha.
Yes. Good night.
Now you see here, Miss Pennybacker, I've stood all the nonsense I'm going to. And I demand that you immediately remove yourself from these premises. And
now,
furthermore,
Wait a minute, Myra. I think it's high time we allowed Miss Pennybacker an opportunity to explain why she came.
And I think it's high time she took the opportunity to go back to Birch Falls while the going is good.
Mrs. Robinson, I really don't want you to misunderstand.
Myra, you've been most arbitrary. You're raising a great deal of fuss over a very small matter.
Oh, it's a small matter, is it? I suppose it's a small matter when a chit of a girl like this follows my husband around all over the county just so she can...
Myra, now this has gone far enough. I insist that
I think it's already gone too far.
Now, Baron.
Miss Pennybacker, I think in the interest of peace and goodwill, I think it would be an excellent idea if you and I took a little walk at twilight.
Well, of course, I'd love to come, Baron, but...
Now what?
There's a beautiful view of the lake, Miss Pennypacker, from the other side of the cabin. I'm sure you will enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I always find the night air so soothing, don't you, Miss Pennypacker?
Oh, I love nature. The murmuring pines and the hemlocks.
I'll murmuring pines and hemlocker. I'll take care of you later, Miss Pennybacker.
No, Myra, please, pull yourself together. Just sit down and take it easy.
I never heard of such effrontery in my life, chasing you all the way up here just
there,
to...
There. That's it. Now, Myra, will you please listen to me a minute?
Oh, what do you want?
I want peace and quiet.
Well, so do I. And how do you think I can get it when that minx, that scheming, plotting little she-devil...
Myra, it's not like you suddenly to go all to pieces like this. You know, dear, I think you've been under too much of a strain lately.
Of course I have. And you don't think that seeing Miss Pennybacker here makes the strain any less, do you?
No. Let's forget all about her for a while. Let's just think about you for a minute.
That will be a novelty for anybody to think about me.
There. You see? Your nerves are too taut. You're stretched as tight as a piano wire, Mary. You must realize that I'm trying to consider your interests. I'm simply trying to be your good and thoughtful husband.
Now, never mind that again.
But I mean it, dear. I want to do something to ease the strain that you've been under lately. Worrying about things at home, at the store, and your radio program, and everything else that's made you more nervous and tense than you used to
be. Goodness knows I've got a right to be nervous.
I'm not denying that. But all I'm trying to do is work out some way to make you a little happier.
You can start by sending this Pennybacker person packing tonight, right away.
Now, wait. I've got an even better idea than that.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Well, it's about your radio program, Myra. I think that's the main thing that's been making you jumpy these days.
What about my radio program?
Well, now, wait. Suppose you let me take over your program for a while, and then you can take a nice long rest.
You? Take over my program?
Why not? After all, I have a following.
Yes, I know. 536 fan letters. Oh, but look, that's impossible. That's ridiculous. You couldn't carry on my radio program.
Why not? At least I could carry it on until you got back.
Look, Robinson, do you mean to stand there and tell me that you have the presumption to think that you could get up there before the microphone and handle a radio program, any radio program, all alone?
Well, I wasn't exactly planning on being alone, Myra.
Oh, I see. You're going to have Charlie McCarthy with you, perhaps.
Well, no. To tell you the truth, I think it would be good for the program to have a little singing. Say, by Twink Pennybacker.
If Luke is serious about this suggestion, does he think for one minute that Myra will agree? What steps will Myra take to squelch Miss Pennybacker once and for all? What will happen? Listen to our next program, and until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Marjorie Bartlett and Douglas Silver and presented by the National Industrial Council.